Bam Erickson here with AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 4, Episode 3, titled The Kind of Man You Are. Special guest in the building. Let's go. We're ready.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. I like it.
Me too.
We took it off. This is from the season premiere this year. This is Jacob Banks.
It's
an opening closing song. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson, and you can follow me on all social media at Bam Erickson.
It's your man Jimmy V, Twitter and Instagram at Be Your Own Dad.
My name is Robin Ayers, and you can catch me at Robin Ayers.
And we have one of the power writers in the building with us. Yes. He is Vladimir Swetko. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay,
thanks for coming.
Yeah. We have so much to talk about, and we're so glad you're here because I have some questions that I want to ask.
Okay.
Everybody's got questions, so yes.
I don't have any answers.
Julio, Andre, and Keisha, they were brought in for questions from the FBI. Julio was in the Toros local gangs, which explains his tattoo on the neck. James made a deal to get him out of the gang. Andre Coleman has a prior for being arrested for selling and distributing drugs. So, did the boys buckle under pressure?
No.
Nah.
They all held it down,
which is what
you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. you know.
If I had a team, I would want them on my team.
Yes.
Straight up.
Okay, and so, now... Do you buy this whole thing with the Julio story about how Ghost made a deal in order to get him out of the gang? There's something more to the story to that, and I'm not buying that you just get somebody, you make a deal with someone to get them out of a gang. That's not normally how it happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go an old school reference, but do you remember when Ice-T was a rapper back in the day? Mm-hmm. Well, he was an affiliate with the Crips.
Yes,
and
was.
So he's the only person that I can think of who said, you know, he was hanging around the drug dealer, the gangsters, and because he was so talented, they were like, no, you need to go. That's the only person that I can reference where somebody just lets you out of a gang.
Right.
I'm not sold.
Oh,
yeah. What does it mean?
Oh, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was not a straight-across deal. Like, mm-hmm. But Ghost, absolutely, that is part of their backstory, is that Ghost did make a deal to get Julio out of the Toros Locos. But we are going to explore that a little more in upcoming episodes, and that did come at a cost.
Within the earlier episodes, too, Julio and Tommy were having a conversation, and Julio was just explaining how much Ghost has done for him, and then Tommy was like, yeah, great, but mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you're kind of soft. So I think mm-hmm. that's what he was kind of referring to when speaking about getting him out of the gang. Yeah. That's how mm-hmm. I like.
And do you think that's why Tommy has like a little bit of beef with Julio? Like, is there like a jealousy type thing? Like, you have so much loyalty to Ghost, and you know, what's that all about?
I feel like there is jealousy or hate or whatever you want to call it. There is some type of, it has a bad taste in Tommy's mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why it is, but I don't think that it would be jealous, because I will break down the history of Ghost and Tommy later. So mm-hmm. there should be no reason for jealousy. I just think that maybe by him bringing it up, maybe Tommy didn't like how he brought him in the first place. So maybe he just hasn't really liked him all along. And now that he's in charge, mm-hmm. now he's showing his dislike for Julio. Mm-hmm.
Good theory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. on to the next.
Yeah. On that, or?
did Keisha buckle by showing that she was unaware of the wedding ring being sold? Or when Angie asks, so to your knowledge, were they no longer functioning as husband and wife?
Y'all talk about it, because I have my own Keisha theories and my Keisha problems, and I love Lala, but I'm starting to feel like a certain way about Keisha.
Okay, I think we're kind of on the same page, because Keisha did great as far as holding it down, not saying any information about. But up until the end was where she kind of squealed and said a little bit too much.
Right.
And that's when everybody was like, ugh. So that's my only thing about that. And then, of course, later on in the episode, I'm sure we will get into it.
And
as
then,
well,
okay.
So.
Yeah.
And then Keisha says to Angie, you already know the answers to these questions you're asking me. You know when he moved out, when he was sleeping on the couch, when he sold a ring because of you. He left her for you. So after the episode aired, Courtney, the creator, you know, mentioned how she wanted Lakeisha to say this because this is really Angie's fault as to why all of this is happening. I disagree.
Mm-hmm. As to what? Disagree with what?
This is not Angie's fault.
I think she plays a major part.
Let me tell you why.
Okay, break it down.
Okay.
I think this is Tasha's fault. I think this is Tasha's fault because...
Okay. Did I hear that correctly? Yeah, no.
Did he say Tasha? Hold on, wait.
He's going somewhere with it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm curious. This is Tasha's fault because...
It takes two to tango, and like, Tasha was not one of those two.
Word up. Okay, go ahead, Bam.
Had Tasha stand by her man when he did not want to sell drugs, get out of the game, and go legit. If she would have supported her man, I don't believe he would have ever had this relationship with Angie. They would have smashed? Yes, they would have smashed. But he left his wife, moved to that apartment on the other side. They were getting ready to have a big house. If she would have supported... Ghost wanted to stop being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
You know what, man?
A drug dealer. And she was
Jimmy,
too busy.
Don't do it.
And she
don't
was
turn.
Too,
Jimmy, she don't
was
turn. Like,
wait, she was too busy wanting to get Gucci handbags and the red the
you
red
have
pumps.
A point there.
And she wanted to floss.
You
and
got
she
a point.
And she wanted to floss to Keisha because that's her only friend. And if had she stood by her man, had she stood by her man, none of this would happen because she decided that she wanted to keep the drug life. Remember in season one when Ghost said something like, "So we're gonna be drug dealers until we 70?" Like, who does that? She wasn't willing to support, and then Angie came along.
All right, Bam. Can I interrupt real quick?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a very solid, very
valid point.
Yes, she did want him to continue in the drug game, and he did not. But he also had an opportunity when he found out what Angela did for a living. That was early on. That was season one, season two. Flat Tops, was that season?
He found out that she was specifically an AUSA at the beginning of season two.
At the beginning of season two. Do you know how early on that is when you're not super head over heels? It was very early on.
No, it was right at the beginning of season two. That's right, when Tommy went into hiding after Hollywood got shot.
Yes. Like,
it was right there at the very end of that episode.
The point, thank you for that. I mean, it makes my point even that much more valid that he had an opportunity to not fall completely in love with Angela. They had a thing, yes. There was that chemistry, yes. But he could have left once he found out what she did.
You don't think it was more than a thing? I mean, he moved in.
Yeah,
he
it was.
Think about, they go back to high school now. Okay?
Thank you.
So there was a whole lot beforehand, too. But I'm not going to let you off that easy, though. But Angela believed in Ghost, the other side of Ghost, the business side of Ghost. So that's where you have a great point. But it takes two to tango. Which, two to tango,
and
I just thought of something else. But they both played a major part, though.
And also, Tasha was doing her thing with Sean. So there was both cheating aspects. I just don't think that Ghost would have left her and did this whole thing. So I think Tasha is to blame for this. And also, it has affected the family. Tariq thinks the whole family's lying now. He doesn't believe them. And now Ghost is in jail. Tasha can't raise him because he's too old and he's just doing things that she can't handle because men were meant to raise men. So it's one downfall. So I have to say that.
I want to hear your opinion, Vlad, but let me just say this really, really fast. She can't make him do anything. So you can't blame Tasha for Ghost stepping out with Angela. He's going to do whatever he wants to do regardless. And he had that spark with her, and you're right. It was more than just a thing. So if he wanted to explore that, he was going to do that regardless.
Yes.
So...
Stan.
Okay. Ryder.
I hesitate to say that Tasha is so basic as to say that, you know, she only wanted to stay in this life because it got her a lot of cash money and she was able to get as many bags as she wants. I mean, you have to understand that Ghost has been doing this for, you know, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's good at it. Mm-hmm. He and Tommy are good
she
at it.
She did say he's good at it.
You know, when he said to her in the line was in that first season was like, I don't know any free drug dealers. Like, the only drug dealers I know are dead or in jail, Tasha. And she truly believes, like, that's not going to be you. She believes in how intelligent she is and how intelligent he is. And also, it's the consistency of what they're doing. They've been doing this for decades in their life.
Yes.
They're doing it well. They've gotten success. But they've been able to shield their children from it, at least from her perspective. Mm-hmm. Why are we going to, turn course now?
Why don't we just keep doing what we're doing? And it's true. I mean, in some sense, had he just kind of kept down the same road that he was going on and not gone to, in the direction of Angela, they might not be in the situation either. Had he listened to her, they might not be in the situation either. So it can go both ways. And as far as him running off to the arms of another woman, I can't in good conscience put that on Tasha. You know, you have problems in a relationship, even if they're like, they're, you know, kind of really exaggerated, like as we have on Power.
Yeah.
It's like, totally. You know, you talk it out and you work it out, and like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, him going with his heart and going with his love, I think that decision's on him.
We can go back and forth, but yeah. You know, both sides have
been valid points.
Yeah, both valid points. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll get to now Tariq this rain
in. Tasha. Bam over here. Oh man, okay. Tasha's the blame.
Yeah,
like he got a point, but Tasha, yeah, that's what he, okay.
And so when I was saying how I feel like this has affected the family, Tariq.
Oh,
it gets,
man,
worse every episode. But now, I normally drag Tariq, and last week I said, kill that little bastard. That's what I said.
Yes, yeah. Which is so wrong. Okay, go ahead.
But I changed my mind. I'm liking Tariq because Raina got on my nerves. Because...
So you like Tariq because Raina got on your nerves.
Yes, but I also, I watch it and I thought about it. Mm-hmm. So again, this has affected the family.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know about the past. He doesn't know about anything regarding his family,
mm-hmm,
the his mom and dad's past. But then also remember, his mother and dad, they're hood. Mm-hmm. They're
definitely
fill in the blank. You know, they have this whole hood side, mm-hmm, that he obviously has. And so now that he's trying to fit in this white upper society type environment, mm-hmm, and then you got these entitled white boys who are now, mm-hmm, coming at him.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to defend his honor. He needs, mm-hmm, to stand up because he needs to let these boys know, like, listen, I'm no punk. I'll beat your ass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I stand
point.
By.
I totally agree.
I
with
stand
that.
By Tariq stepping up to that boy, saying, "Yep, sure do." Yeah. Because if you don't say something, that these kids are going to keep coming at him, mm-hmm, and which is why Raina got on my nerves because.
Well, the reason I understand your point of you wanting Raina to like back him up, but the reason why I hear what Raina is, where she's coming from, is she's trying to hold her mom down because of what her mom said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she's just being a punk. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of that is she's the younger, not the youngest, but the younger one. So she doesn't really have that hood thing going on,
mm-hmm,
but she's really just trying to do what Tasha told her.
Yes.
I think they noticed different things, and they're twins. They have the same birthday.
Hold on
Tariq
now.
And Raina are twins.
Yeah, they came.
I think we knew that.
Yeah, yeah,
one.
They're the same age.
What?
Yeah. So
I'm just
okay.
Learning
oh,
now.
That's
wow.
a, that's
okay.
a revelation. Now. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me.
I
let
didn't
that
know
sit.
That word. No.
Breaking news.
I think we did know that because they called them the twins
well,
in
know,
the beginning. And
yeah,
season when
they
called them
the same birthday.
You guys take so long to do a new season. I forget.
So there's that. I think she might be the younger one by like a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Don't quote me on that one, though. I don't know if you actually like decided
wow.
on that.
Off topic, really quickly. Yeah. Speaking of age, who's older between Ghost and Tommy?
I think Ghost is just slightly older. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Ghost is slightly older. Yeah.
Are
but they're about the exact same age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Well,
something you think about. Okay. But were you finished making your point? You were saying.
Oh, about Tariq. just in terms of like who he is and what he's doing. I mean, the thing is I think they're taking two very different perspectives. Raina is she's doing the thing where she's just trying to pretend that everything's okay, and if she pretends everything's going to be okay, then it's going to be okay. So she's turning a blind eye to things. And like mm-hmm. Tariq, you know, his parents are who they are, and the thing this is about children is that they see things that you don't notice them seeing, even when they're 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-olds. And so Tariq has picked mm-hmm. up a lot of the actions of his father and a lot of the duplicity of his father. And mm-hmm. I think we're going to explore that going forward too. Mm-hmm. But then you also see like he's also developed. He has his father's instincts in him, the ability to lie and the ability to extract revenge. And so and,
yes,
like, he,
yes.
he is also, but he also has the nobility in there in mm-hmm. him as well, and the desire to defend his family. And so it's Yeah, I think that's. Yeah. I mean, I love it. The thing about Tariq is that it's like he's acting like a punk in some scenes and he's acting like a hero in other scenes. It's because he's really like he's confronting it head on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's confronting like the honesty of his parents head on and the reality of their situation. And they've lied to him this whole time, so he's just starting to pull it together.
Pull
it apart piece by piece and starting to see it with the curtain open the first time. So he's having a strong reaction. Also, I don't know if you guys noticed, but like he I can't remember the kid's name, but Ethan, the one that he slammed against the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you notice later, like the house up there.
Yeah, Kane and Robin.
That was that kid's house. Yeah.
And, oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I was gonna get to that in just a second. Like I said, I had to go back and think back about the bigger picture and why I actually feel sorry for Tariq, because he's a kid and, you know, he has all this mixed emotions. He said to Raina, we don't know anything about our parents before we were born. We never gone back to the neighborhood.
Yep.
Like, who are their cousins?
That's true.
And so I can feel for Tariq as to why he's going through what he's going. Mm. Also in that scene, and he was cussing. Did you? He was
so much.
He dropped a few F-bombs on
him. Yes, into Raina. I'm like, stop.
It's crazy because we are seeing him grow up. Like, he's came a long way, but he's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, and he's taking it out on his... on his sister.
Now, do you guys think that he has got into Raina's head when he dropped that speech about we don't know about our family, we've been lied to? Do you think that Raina is eventually going to get on her now twin brother's side and figure things out, or do you think she's going to stay as daddy's?
I think she'll stay in her lane.
Okay. Now, something that I thought was interesting was, so now the press is going after the kids and they're taking pictures and so forth, which I thought was interesting because... if, you know, we live in LA, so the media, they're very good at following people through their destinations. So it just would seem logical to follow Tariq, the boy, James's son. I would, if I was a paparazzi, I would follow him because I feel like I can get more of a story out of Tariq. Where is he going? What is he doing? Who is he hanging around with? So it just seems kind of odd to me that they would go after Tariq, go after Raina to make the poor daddy's girl, you know, crying because her daddy's getting a death penalty. I would go after Tariq.
Well, here's my theory on that. I think that that's not some random paparazzi guy. I think that team has sent them to, or sent the paparazzi or photographer to photograph them. And what better way? Mm. Who better to go after than Raina? Because that is going to tug on the heart of, if I'm Ghost and I see my baby girl out there crying. I mean, it's all about perception. I think Proctor said that. He said it's all about, I think it was Proctor.
Yeah.
He said it's all about perspective,
in how like the jury's going to perceive you. Yes. It was actually like when Silver came in and he was talking about when we had Brandon Victor Dixon came in. I think that was the scene where he was talking about it. It's like it's how they're going to perceive you.
That thread just says to me that if I'm Ghost and they want you to turn on, you know, and give up Tommy Egan and all these other things, then you will probably try to play on his heartstrings.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that was definitely a low blow, because as you saw, they ended up sending that message exactly to her, and it went all around the school and all that stuff. But when Ghost received it in jail, you saw how he reacted to it.
And Charlie Murphy, and that was great.
It's just like, I blame it on bad parenting.
Yeah,
Charlie.
Before we move on, anything else you guys want to say about Raina, Tariq, Kanan? Were you guys surprised that the job was actually to rob Tariq's friends versus? I was worried. I didn't know what he was going to do last weekend when he was teaching them how to break in homes. Were you surprised that it was that?
Man, it's just like I know from my past, I come from a type of neighborhood where there's good people and there's bad people. And he's definitely hanging around those bad people that'll teach you how to steal, rob, all that stuff. And they take advantage of the people that you associate with. Oh, you go keep the door open?
Mm-hmm.
Let me take care of it. So right now, Kanan is taking full advantage of Tariq, and it's 100%. Completely wrong.
100%. Lastly, you know what I do like, though?
What's that?
The thread of truth. Did you see the newspaper heading? The truth hurts?
Uh-huh.
I like that.
I missed that, actually.
Pretty cool.
Okay, so now let's go into Proctor, Silver, Ghost, Tasha, Tommy. So, Silver automatically assumes James is guilty. James keeps repeating that he didn't do it. Then the scene they had towards the end of the episode, he calls him out. So, Is Silver and James do you guys take this this thing between them two, do you take it as kind of black on black racism?
Silver is everything James wants to be.
Interesting. Okay.
Because Silver called James out and said, you took the short way. Unlike me, and he started to, you know, me, mm-hmm. I did this, blah, blah, blah. And then James was like, oh, you grew up in a parent home, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like he's staring at himself if mm-hmm. if he went the right way.
Hmm. Interesting theory.
This is one of the scenes that we really like to write on Power, and something that Courtney really pushes is that she likes scenes where both people are right in the scene. Mm-hmm. And I think that whoever watches that last scene, you could agree with either Silver or Ghost in that scene, and you can either blame it on circumstance, or you can blame it on choices, you can blame it on character, or you can blame it on mm-hmm. On so many different things. I don't think either one of them is necessarily right in that scene. I think they're both right in that scene, and I think both of them. I mean, the one thing that we have though is that, you know, we don't know if Silver might have had an opportunity to become somebody like Ghost in his past. It doesn't seem like he even had that opportunity. But as far as Ghost, like, there was an opportunity for him to become somebody like mm-hmm. Silver had he chosen to go down that road. Yeah. So the question is, like, did he have the right example to show him that opportunity? The door was open, but, like, why didn't he go through it? And there's a lot of reasons why he didn't go through that door. So I think it's, yeah.
He's a clone. I don't like him.
I don't like Silver either.
I don't like him. So he has a 3-1 rate in defending these type of cases, right? And so for someone who has that great of a record to be so easily persuaded to say that Ghost should go and do something and take and consider the offer, well, You wound up getting the footage to show that the DNA was possibly tampered. So for someone to be that good to mm-hmm. give up so easy, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What if he was just trying to protect his record?
Then why are you on board? Mm-hmm. You should not have taken this case. I can't mess with him. Mm-hmm.
I don't. There's something about him that I don't trust, even though he seems like a very legit guy. He seems like a legitimate attorney. There's something about him that I don't trust, and maybe it just pertains to this specific case. And again, it's because we all want to free Ghost. Yes. You know what I mean? That we want some Bam. Bam. I don't know, but there's a lot of us who want to free Ghost, and the only reason why I say that is, although Ghost has had many trials in his life and many things that he's done that are crimes, in this particular situation, it's Ghost has the great intentions mm-hmm. in life. He just happened to have done some things, and he's gotten caught up for some things that he didn't even do. But I think that's why a lot of people want Ghost to be free, because he's not guilty in this particular situation. Mm-hmm. So as it pertains again to his case, I don't like Silver for this case. He walked in and he said, in that very first scene, he said, I'm not here to judge your innocence. I'm here to save your life. Mm-hmm. But on the same episode, you can see that he's sort of judging him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's the part that I don't like.
And then he also says, I'm here because I'm not here because you're innocent. I'm here because you're paying me, and that will help others who deserve to be represented, or something that he was saying. So he basically just gave a big F you to him, saying, I'm just here to take your money and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Something that I think Silver is, there's a jealousy factor, or he's crushing on James. It's one of the two. There's something about
where did that come from?
His body language. Mm-hmm. There's just something off about the Silver character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I mean, more to see.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Interesting writer.
Proctor and Silver know that the prosecution will go for the break the spousal privilege and force Tasha to testify against James. If she refuses, then Tasha will get prosecuted. Tasha says that she will protect Keisha and won't tell anything. Do you believe her?
How, Sway? That's what I was thinking. How are you going to protect Keisha?
Well, I will now defend Tasha.
So now we're switching sides.
I'll switch sides. As soon as Proctor and Silver mentioned the whole break the spousal privilege, she didn't bat her eye. She didn't like, what the hell? She knew exactly what that means. And remember, I believe her background had something to do with accounting, right?
Tasha's
yes. Yeah. So she's a smart girl. She knows the law. Mm-hmm. And so I will say that she's smart. And if she says that she's going to protect her and that she's not going to say anything, I actually believe her.
So what's cool about that scene when she's talking to Keisha is she says, right after Proctor says she has three, what did he say? She's got three very good reasons to talk. And mm-hmm. I think he's meaning like her kids, right?
Yeah.
So right after that, she shows, we've already known that there's something that she doesn't really trust about Proctor, but now you have Silver involved. I think Tasha is so street smart that she's just like, I'm not going to give them anything. Yeah. She's very, you know, her street smarts are kind of kicking in.
Mm-hmm. The Tommy Keisha moment, what do you guys think?
This is where Keisha, having second thoughts. She's obviously thinking of herself, which everybody, of course, you're supposed to. But at this point, everybody is in it together. Then she's like, you don't think she'll tell on us? When you start to hear that within mm-hmm. your group, you start to slowly separate.
And mm-hmm. remember what she said to him. She says, how did she say it? She said, I would, or I understand.
Yeah, if I was Sasha, I would. Or yeah. Like that.
I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And then you see Tommy, who's from the street. Tommy is looking, it's a beat. It's a beat. He didn't say it. It's just a beat that the camera was on his face. Like, huh, there's a thought. Then when he met back up, and I'm sure we'll get there, but when he met up with Proctor, it was another thought. Proctor is now putting Lakeisha, he says that she's the weakest link or the weak link.
Let's talk about it.
So it's putting that in Tommy's
mind. And that's the next thing on my notes is, so what is this beef that Tommy has with, I feel like there's blatant disrespect.
With him and Proctor?
With him and Proctor. He's your lawyer, and he is the only guy who can save your ass, Ghost's ass, Tasha's ass, and he's being rude and disrespectful. Who does that to a lawyer or to their lawyer?
Maybe some type of jealousy.
No. Tommy Egan.
Okay.
Tommy Egan. I mean, quite frankly, with Tommy, it's a management style too. Tommy's way of operating is to keep people afraid of him.
Okay.
And so I think that's a lot to do with that. And also, Proctor's also not technically Tommy's lawyer anymore. He did get him off in season 2.
Yeah.
But now Proctor's representing Ghost, which means he's no longer representing Tommy. There was a previous conflict of interest between the two, but that's separated now. So if Tommy has any sort of fears, like he knows that Proctor's that guy's not working for me anymore. That guy's working for Ghost. And there have been enough things that have happened now over the past couple of seasons where Tommy doesn't necessarily trust Ghost and what Ghost is going to do, especially when he doesn't have access to Ghost behind bars. So
okay.
Yeah.
That was a nugget. You don't even know, but that was a nugget.
That was a good one.
Wow. I forgot about the whole Tommy Ghost spiel kind of back in the day because the focus has been to get Ghost out, so everything's been about working together. So another side to the coin here.
And speaking of Tommy's, the way he does things, Tommy and Pitar, Tommy doesn't like to be micromanaged, and do you see this duo business? Do you see this going far?
No. I just don't.
No.
Nah, it's too much friction. They don't even
a whole lot of things.
Yeah, like I'm mad at it. You know, like I get it. I get exactly why it happened and why they both feel the need to. You know, it's funny. When maybe season 1 or probably season 2, we talked about what was going to happen in the future, and I believe we agreed that Tommy was going to be running things. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting to see him now in that position.
Okay. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Going back to my why Tasha is why she's responsible.
She's the one.
It was Ghost was giving Tommy that position a long time ago.
Very true. Very true.
He was.
He was trying to make him step up.
Meaning that when Ghost wanted to leave the drug business, Tommy was obviously going to take over. They were still going to do their business. Right. So yeah, I just felt like being petty, but okay, I'm done. Now Julio and Tommy. Julio decided that he wanted to stop the drugs being in the club, and then Dre went behind his back, and then they wound up doing it anyway. Do you think Julio should have gone to Tommy? Do you think that pissed Tommy off more? What's your take on this?
Go ahead. I mean,
no, you go ahead.
No. I was saying that Julio should have gone to Tommy about Dre continuing to sell,
about wanting to stop the drugs in the club.
Instead of just right,
meaning that should he went to him and maybe conferred? Should he got his opinion about it, or just? I know he's the distributor, but you know Tommy is very like my way. So do you think that by Julio doing that, do you think it's going to cause any more riff or Yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That one I can't. Okay. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Dre and Julio are not getting along mm-hmm. very well, yeah. and you know, there's a tension between the two of them, and you know, when you're somebody who's number one at the top, like Tommy is, like you're gonna have to deal with your middle management. So.
Okay. Yeah. And this deal that this big shipment in 2 days, and with the thing what they had kind of in the warehouse, what's going on?
I wasn't sure
what that was with the fight on the monitor and people playing cards and I was. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah. Possible? I mean, what it is that, you know, with Ghost being locked up uh-huh. and a lot of the pressure that they've gotten over the past couple of seasons, Tommy is being exceedingly cautious in terms of being monitored by the police mm-hmm. and being able to pull off his drug business in secrecy and in safety. So that whole kind of like the blind pig situation that they set up, like that gambling house that, yeah. that was set up with the intention of drawing. Yeah, it's a front. So okay. They, okay. It seems to have illegal activity going on that draws the cops' eyes to them, and then Tommy's able to step out and actually meet with his Primeras mm-hmm. and actually start moving the drugs and start having like real meetings without supervision and knowing that he's not being tracked by the cops. So mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Is there anything, so this shipment in 2 days, and it was mentioned from PTAR that it was, the Chicago was referenced and how the drugs had to keep being sold in the club. That was a deal that was made in order to kill Milan. So is there anything that you can tell us for what we can expect for this big, because it's obviously going to be big, because...
Yeah, I mean, the drugs in the club, you know, at the moment, the reason why Julio is just kind of like stepping away from that is that, again, out of an abundance of caution, because they have a lot of eyes on them at the moment. But as far as like what's going to happen with Tommy and how he's running his network, and you know, a lot of that is going to, you know, it's going to take shape over the next couple of episodes. So,
okay. yeah. So it sounds like yeah. a prelude, like you saying that what they set up is a front. It sounds like possibly that they will be drawing the feds there to that particular spot, so something yeah. is going to happen.
Yeah, because yeah. they're across the street, and the lady in the back was like, "What's this?" And she was like, "He was like, the guy in the front was like, don't worry about it. Well, you know, all we need to focus on is Tommy.
On Tommy, yeah.
Okay. The alibi. So what the hell took James so long to let his lawyers know that Greg pulled him over the same day?
Oh, it was just a part of, like, you know, when you go through like a traumatic like situation like this, and you're trying to piece together all the little different bits and pieces of like your interactions. I think Ghost really, like, in his head, he didn't think that it was pertinent, like, and mm. I think he just categorized it into like another place.
Okay.
Whereas mm. you know, again, this guy's dealing with a lot of lies, and he's dealing with a lot of like trying to manage the people around him. So it's just it came to him in that moment. He was like, okay. Oh, this is what it is. This is what we're looking for. Like, this is how this happened. So
okay.
Yeah. I gotta say, I had an opportunity, you guys know that, to go to the set of Power mm-hmm. for that particular episode, and so I watched a little bit. I was in the back like this, you know, with the village and everybody, and I had an opportunity to meet, I don't know Silver's real name.
Brandon.
Yeah. And hear his story and how he came onto the show and everything, and met Jerry, and everybody was great. And so, again, shout out to all of them. But I wanted to specifically talk about Omari in that scene, mm-hmm. in this entire scene that he's playing. Do you understand what that takes to have that sort of demeanor as an actor, like even trying to get out of the scene, even when you say
cut
mm-hmm. thank you, you know what I mean, and you try to go on with your day-to-day like eating or whatever, just to get in that space. He's just done such a great job with that acting. This entire thing is so believable, everything that he does, like just the small little minute things, and I can't speak specifically to the details of it, but I'm just saying, if you pay attention to all of the things in those scenes, in those jail scenes, mm-hmm. he's just done a fantastic job with it. So,
and he went deep with the two, just in terms of his preparation, and like, you know, the few things that I do know about him, like he's always working when he's on camera and when he's off camera, and I, you know, these scenes in particular, like he did spend time isolating himself and yeah. like and getting into the feel of like what it means to be like in solitary confinement and only dealing with a few people. So yeah. you know, he really threw himself into it.
He's doing a fantastic yeah. job, and he yeah. better win that damn award next year. Yeah. I'm saying.
Come on, Power.
the prosecution. Okay, so this is where I have a couple questions. So when John and Sandoval were having the conversation with Bailey, John says that Greg both called Bailey and Sandoval and visited the two. And Bailey said that Greg called him that night saying that he could prove Valdez was the inside mole. Bailey then asked Sandoval, well, why did he call you? And then John interjects and says, well, how did you know he called Sandoval? Well, because John just said it a couple seconds ago. So was there something that I was missing as to how that?
I'm not following you. I'm sorry. Okay. Because I know you're going with something like specific here. But like,
so in that conversation, John says there that both Bailey and Sandoval contacted and reached out to Greg, mm-hmm. and then as Bailey starts to question Sandoval, well, what were you guys talking about? John interjects and then asks him, how did he know that? When John just said right. because he gave him that information. So I was like, am I missing something, or is that just too petty to?
I'd have to see the scene to see exactly what that line was. I'm sorry, I'm trying to replay it in my head. It's been a while.
So. Okay, the bigger question that I have is John with Sandoval. How come Sandoval hasn't been questioned regarding his interaction with Greg Knox at night?
this is a good question. So, there are reasons. I would say at this point, Mike Sandoval is leading the charge, and John Mock has a singular mind, and that's to bring Jamie St. Patrick down for this particular event. And what that points to is when you go into a prosecution and you want to prosecute somebody like James St. Patrick, you don't want to bring in all the other factors and all the other variables. You want to find the narrative that makes sense for you, and you want to push that narrative, which is why Mock is so resistant to working with Bailey and trying to clear Greg's name. He doesn't care if Greg's name is vindicated or not. Mm-hmm. It's why he doesn't care about the footage that they ended up finding by the end of the episode, that Angela had brought up, is because Mock is looking for his narrative and he wants to stick to his narrative. And so at this point, whatever he's talked to Sandoval about and the lies that Sandoval has had for that moment, that fits the narrative that Mock wants to piece together.
And so with that being said, I feel like that may possibly be the death of the prosecution, because Mock said that he says, so we disagree on motive. As long as we get the win, what does the story matter? Mm-hmm. I think the story means the most important thing, because the story with so many people involved is what's going to win or lose their case. So I feel like John wants to win, and he's not thinking about all of the facts.
Yeah, John Mock is a creature of pure ambition, mm-hmm. and that's why he is where he is in that department. I mean, if you look at any of them, actually, Cooper Sachs is quite honestly probably the most honest and genuine and actually there there to actually do some good in the world, no matter how mean he can be and how funny he can be. I love watching Shane do that episode. But yeah, Mock is a. He's purely about his win, his image, and his ambition, and so he's going to get that win no matter what. He doesn't care about the wreckage, and quite so much about as long as there's a version of justice.
What's your take on Bailey confronting Angela, saying that she needs to? She says, Angela, you need to clear his name and admit to being a mole, and that she testifies about St. Patrick, and then he'll testify. Bailey will testify about Greg trying to nail the both of you. Angie, you go to jail. St. Patrick gets the needle, and Greg gets the colors on his grave. Everyone gets what they deserve. Bailey's a problem.
Problem.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on Bailey?
He's a problem.
Do you guys think that?
I like the fact that he's putting pressure on Angela to supposedly do the right thing, because she's in the wrong, mm-hmm. but she's trying to keep herself out of it. So I like. I'm interested to see how she is going to respond.
Who is going to shut Bailey up? John Sandoval. I'm certain. I'm starting to wonder if John and Sandoval are working together. But they're going to have to shut him up. And then my other concern...
Well, keep in mind that Bailey now thinks that, or Sandoval thinks that he can get something evidence from Bailey, right?
And so this big So this big meeting that the two of them are going to have, because he has the evidence, but he didn't want to show it then, you know, will it set Sandoval up? Will Sandoval be on his P's and Q's?
I don't know. And I think that Bailey is getting himself into some deep trouble, mm-hmm. you know, and he might cause some conflict amongst them, but also, you know, Sandoval, I mean, he's getting good with the gun. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He might take him out.
But let's not also forget Bailey's position. He's Homeland, so he probably has access to a lot of things.
Right. Well, see, that's what I think. I feel like, why are you using... I feel like he's putting his cards out on the table too soon. He knows how to do some things. Mm-hmm. You know how to discover, you know, some... Even if it is wrong and dirty... Because that's why Greg was going to him. He's like, I know you know how to do some of these things. I feel like if it's that serious to him and he wants to vindicate Greg's name that much, he can find out some things without having to go to Angela first or even Sandoval or anybody.
I agree. So the hearing to drop the DNA evidence.
Hilarious.
Open discussion.
I loved it.
Go Proctor.
Yeah. Yes. Team Proctor on here. A complete surprise. I liked how Proctor even went a step forward and say, you know what? We should just drop all charges. Judge is like, whoa, 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 calm down, man.
Reach to the top.
That was but, such a great scene.
Right? I like that, though,
Shoot for the moon. So I thought that was like an aha moment, of course, to Silver, because he didn't believe that it was even, you know, that it existed. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, you know.
So do you, although that thing has been dropped, there's still the part with the gun. So do you think that the defense can breathe a little bit? Do you think that things are starting to look in their favor, or do you think that they're still in trouble?
Okay, let's rewind it back a little bit. When Proctor mentioned to Ghost James that they found the gun at Truth, did he say at Truth or in his office?
In his office at Truth.
He said, in his office at Truth.
Well, I meant, I don't know what he said, but that's where they found it.
Okay, yeah. So I'm saying, what did he specifically tell Ghost? Because if Ghost knows that they found a gun in his office and he knows the system as far as, like, the cameras, why wouldn't he tell Proctor, go look at the camera footage, go see, you know, let's go, you know, dig a little bit deeper.
Can we discuss the footage? So, you know,
we actually, like, in the coming episodes, there will be answers to that specifically. Okay. So, like, like, as far as, like, we took into consideration the cameras at the club and when Mike was in there and so, yes. Mm-hmm.
He's like, we got everything covered. We got that.
We actually, that's a good question, but like, yes.
I have to dig just a little bit. Will the answers have anything to do with Milan setting up the security system?
That's what we want to know.
That's an interesting question. Okay. I don't know if I want to answer yes or no to that. So,
all right. Let's discuss our theory on that really fast. So if Milan was the top of the top, right? That's what he was supposed to be. He and his team were supposed to be the top of the security. You would think that he has got it separated somehow. Ghost, his particular cameras and his security system was different than what the club had. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. What do you think? Y'all don't know? We'll just go with my theory.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Another thing that I don't understand is I don't feel like the defense is looking at all the different aspects. For me, it makes sense that they will put Angela on the witness stand because they should be able to twist the narrative that James left Angela to go back to his wife, and the two of them, meaning Greg and Angela, conspired to take him down. Greg's a jealous boyfriend. There's plenty of proof to show that he's a jealous boyfriend. Angie is the last person Greg had sex with. Mm-hmm. So it would be easy to make those two come together as if those two were the ones who killed him out of anger, out of revenge, jealousy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or jealousy or something.
Yeah, I know.
And I just feel like the defense, I need them to wake up.
Well, go ahead.
You mean Silver and Proctor, the defense?
Yes.
Yeah, you're saying that they should put Angela on the stand,
or
to,
just or have different options. I don't feel like I need them to have every possible solution.
I mean, the difficulty in putting Angela on the stand and going straight at their relationship in the way that they could possibly do that. And by the way, this isn't a trial yet. This is all pre-trial hearing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is still, you know, where we are in terms of like what evidence is going to get in, admissible in there and what's mm-hmm. not. So they're not in front of a jury yet.
Okay.
So they're trying to figure out, like, you know, is Angela somebody that you're going to want to put in front of the jury? And the thing is like whether or not, you know, Ghost killed Greg for the reasons of, you know, Greg being a mole, or whether or not Ghost killed him because he was just jealous because he was sleeping with Angela and now Greg was sleeping with Angela again. Mm. Both of those things point in the direction of Ghost still having killed Greg. So I, you know, in that sense, like putting Angela on the stand just simply for that particular reason, I don't think it gets him off.
Okay. Right now, I think the defense is just looking for that breathing room.
Yeah.
I think they're just playing a catch up, and they at this point, I think they're finally neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
And now, next move, who's... Hey,
I think, Bam, what you might be feeling is mm-hmm. the fact that it seems like the prosecution is digging more. It seems like they're having more meetings
does,
and they're
yes,
talking
exactly.
a little bit mm-hmm. more about mm-hmm. their options and pulling in different witnesses or people who may have something to do with the case. And mm-hmm. we're not really seeing that from the defense. But I think Proctor has something up his sleeve.
So this is a big win too. I mean, getting the DNA taken off the case—that's a big
that's
win.
Big.
I mean, that was a big equalizer. Like, I think that you know. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
I forgot. Go ahead. Anything else regarding defense or prosecution? Anything else before we move on to the last topic?
Just you know, going into the next episodes, I think you're gonna see that Proctor's really pissed off the prosecution with what he's done. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, so. It's going to be that's fun. It's going to be a fun struggle between the two.
They're coming with it.
Is Sandoval the reason for the media, specifically those people going to take pictures? Because there was a look on Sandoval's face.
I thought Proctor was.
No, meaning Proctor made the announcement and went to the media first. But as far as now the children's pictures being taken, I feel like Sandoval has something to do with that because there was a look that he gave when he says, no, we're going after it. When John says, you know, all bets off, we're going after the kids.
Oh.
That's really good you guys put that together. But I think in some of it, like, it's the, you know, the media is out there and is doing what they're doing. So, you know, as far as, like, having a real connection between the two. Mock is more the person, though, like, who would be up to those kind of dirty tricks.
Okay.
So.
And in my opinion, and I think I know the scene that you're talking about, what I read on Sandoval's face is sort of the thing that we've been reading a little bit mm-hmm. is that kind of guilt, you know, that now you're talking about the kids, you know what I mean? And he's a dad and he really isn't, like he said, he's not really, Sandoval isn't a killer. He's not necessarily a bad guy. But when you say something about this kids and then he's going to get lethal injection and all that stuff, I think he's feeling like, damn, this is really, like, look what I did. And this dude is about to fall and his kids are about to, their lives are going to change. So that's what I read. But back to the court scene when Proctor asked for all the charges to be dismissed, I thought that was hilarious, by the way. But shouldn't he have asked for bail? Would that have been possible?
Would it have been too late? Because they already did the bail trial.
I think it's too late. We have you know, attorneys in the room who know more specifically better than me. I'm not that well versed in the law, but I do believe that the bail hearing has already been set and done, and it was denied. And tonight,
so even
on.
With
yeah.
that new
so
information,
you can't
it's
step
like
back
okay,
that, no.
okay.
So John Teresi gets a call, gets a phone wrapped in ramen noodles, and then he calls.
I like that. Yeah, bring him back. To the jail time.
Then he calls Sam. Is Sam somebody that's important enough that we're going to see the person?
Yes.
We
will meet Sam.
All right. So Sam informs him that Tommy is a boss from Queens, that he came up with some moolie, a.k.a. black guy, who went by Ghost, the two of them started slanging dope on the corners, and then they worked their way up, but he doesn't know who that Ghost is. So how do you guys think Tony put two and two together about James being Ghost? And is he possibly Tommy's? Is that Tommy's? Is
dad?
Dad.
Didn't Sam on the phone? Did he not mention that James was Ghost? He didn't say that.
No, he did not.
Once
he said, "I don't know who Ghost is," then Tony turned around and looked.
Oh, okay, that's
at Ghost, who was in the Yeah.
So
I don't know how he put that. I don't know.
Okay.
I know all the answers.
I didn't think that deep. I'm sorry.
I know, but I can't think
I know exactly.
So I can possibly see that maybe this can potentially be Tommy's dad, mm-hmm. but I also, you know, think that so let me explain my theory. So I think that this Tony guy used to date Mrs. Egan back in the day. And they were in a serious relationship, and then Mrs. Egan was a hot ass, so she went to the club where Ghost's dad, James, used to own the club. She met with James, and they got together, smashed, and she got pregnant and had Tommy, which explains why the two of them, I believe, have brothers. And Ghost, you're saying, is older.
I like that.
Thank you. Yeah. Ghost is older.
I started to laugh because he's got such a great imagination.
I'm
following along.
Hey, Courtney.
I told her. I'll tell you about that. So I feel like he has it out for Tommy because that could potentially be his kid because his new wife Connie can't have kids. So I feel like he's looking like, you know, he wants to. That's why Tommy is the chosen one to go and make the drop of the 20,000 each week. So, you know, why Tommy? So there's something deep to the point where he has some affiliation, I believe, more so on the Egan side than Ghost.
He does, yeah. Because remember last episode when. Was it his attorney who was talking about, or he was talking to him about who they were, who mm-hmm. Ghost was, and when he heard Egan, he sat back. It was a moment.
Yeah.
Egan and where did they grow up? So there's a tie there. Whether that's his pops or not, I don't know. But, you know, I guess we'll see.
How is this money drop-off going to pan out? How do you think this is going to pan out once Tommy has to make the drop to this guy who he knows does not know? How do you think this is going to pan out?
Tommy's a hothead. He'll try to do the job. They'll get into something, and I bet any money Tommy is going to kill that person.
Okay. You have anything?
No.
What do you guys think? Okay. Do you think James is going to eventually have to play a badass in jail and start to knuckle up and take over?
Yeah.
I can see it.
I can see it too.
I saw a clip where James looks like he's in jail and he's bleeding.
Fighting, yeah.
And he's fighting. I think he may have to kill Teresi. I don't know how.
I hope he does. I mean, not like that. I hope we find out the storyline first.
But also, Teresi's not a punk. He is on
right,
trial
clearly.
For the murder for someone's name. I can't remember, but he's had a long prior since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do the math. Ghost and Tommy are supposed to be in their 30s. They're not in the 40s yet, so they're in their 30s. So this is right around the time when Mrs. Egan got pregnant mm-hmm. with Tommy's. I'm just saying.
So, I mean, well, clearly, Teresi is not a punk. I mean, mm-hmm. he gets the ramen noodles with a phone in it, and then he said to Biscuit, he was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Back up, and then Biscuit just got up and left. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think if there's somebody that Ghost does kill, it'd be Biscuit.
But why? Just because?
To prove yourself?
I like,
mean,
let me show
they
you.
Already got in. Yeah. To it one time.
So. Well, we're not going to do any predictions, but we are going to just ask as many questions as we can and see what you can get.
I got to ask one.
Go ahead.
Everybody on social media said, Jimmy, you have to ask him. I know you probably can't answer this, but we've got the writer from Power. When is Ghost coming out of prison?
Wayne seems to suggest that he does. I mean,
who
knows? Who knows?
I tried.
Okay.
I tried. Tune in, though.
A side note. I know someone who is in prison, and I can't accept collect calls when someone from prison calls me on a cell phone. How is that possible? Is that a California thing, or is that a New York thing, or did you kind of have to skip that? Did you have to skip that surface?
Wait, was that a cell phone when he called Tasha's on?
It wasn't a wireless cordless phone at home.
Tasha
had a cell phone. Andre had a cell phone. Mm-hmm. Tommy had a cell phone. How? Or should I just not be petty?
It's a fine question because the one at home I think says you have a collect call, but in California at least with people that I know who have been in prison, you have. you get in your canteen, you get a calling card, like, so you get, you know, $100 or whatever that you pay towards it, so mm-hmm. you can make phone calls out, you okay. know, but I think it might be dependent on what level security prison you're in that they might give that to you or take it away. But okay. again, I'm not sure it's when he does call cell phones. Does it say that it's collect?
There's a couple of times when it said collect call, so that's okay. why I wondered.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
A question. Last episode when James called Tommy and in that whole scene of I need help me,
yeah.
and he says, take care of my family. Does that actually mean something deeper than just help my family or help my family? Take care of my family.
I think when Ghost says that, mm-hmm. says help me, the meaning to him is that he thinks he's not getting out of there alive. Mm-hmm. That's why he's saying.
So know, he really does mean take care of my family. Yeah. Just in the, yeah. okay, thank you.
Okay. With the drug storylines. I think that Julio is the wild card. I think Julio is probably the one that's going to go. But is there anything that you can tell us with this big drug thing between Julio, between Andre, between Tommy, Pitar? I feel like something is brewing because you have all of these alpha males together, and there's no true leader. Well, Tommy mm-hmm. is, but Ghost was more respected, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I feel like Tommy's not as well respected, so I feel like something's going to go down. Can you nod or shake or something?
Well, I mean, listen, the show's got power. It's a power struggle that's okay. happening right now, and you know, with somebody like Ghost being absent, you're absolutely right, is that Tommy's going to have to work really hard to assert himself as number one.
Okay.
You know, because it's not a given that you're that. You don't just step into that position. Once you step in that position, you have to earn it and continue to earn it. So
okay, which episodes did you specifically
this year I wrote episode 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
7.
Very nice. So pay attention to episode 7.
I'm excited
7.
For that.
All right. Any well, other questions before we do social media plugs?
No. All right. But shout out to Tommy for stepping up to take care of Ghost kids, like dropping them off at school and whatnot. And I like what he said to Tariq. That was awesome.
Yes,
he was like, he said, your father would never.
Yeah.
I released you. Go be smarter than your Uncle Tommy.
Go. Tommy, oh, goodness, Joe. Okay. And then he says, your father would never put our family at risk. And I thought that was pretty deep because that just shows you where they're at. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So you can follow me on all social media at Bam Erickson, and I'm also in this new Twitter campaign for the new Twitter commercials. The hashtag is it's hashtag Summergetting, hashtag see every side. So you can check me out in the new Twitter campaign.
It's your boy Jimmy V, Twitter and Instagram at Be Your Own Dad. Go check that.
Where can we find you?
At Vladimir Svetko. It's my name. That's my Instagram handle. You can find me on Twitter, but I'm not on there very much. A lot of power posts, that's it. Yeah.
Go follow the man. And you can follow me at Robin Ayers or go to my website. It's robinayers.com.
Hey.
And we want to thank you so much for tuning in. We got a lot of great insight, and you are welcome to come back anytime. And thank you for, you know, sitting in with us.
Yeah, this is my first time doing anything like this. This is a pleasure,
awesome.
Guys. Like, thank you so much.
What an honor. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So let's give a hand to Vladimir Svetko. We want to thank you guys for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV for Power Svetko. After Show Season 4. And we will see you guys next week.
See
Keep
ya.
It locked.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.